Digitalization of the grid is a complex process that has the potential to offer a great deal of value. However, there are challenges to be overcome, which is proving especially difficult in a sector well known for being risk-averse and favoring incremental change rather than fast-paced disruption. To learn more about how the sector needs to overcome some of the practical and behavioral changes associated with this new digital era, I had a conversation with Adrian Guggersberg, president at ABB's Distribution Solutions Division at Inlet Europe in Milan. Adrian helps us understand the disruptive dynamics and pressures facing utilities, as well as the need to incentivize change. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast. Adrian, thank you for joining us today. We're talking about digitalizing the grid of the future. And it was really interesting because when we prepared for this, you were saying some utilities might actually say, over my dead body, will we manage to do this? Now, obviously, you weren't just being dramatic. Why is this industry so conservative, do you think?
Yeah, maybe there are kind of two answers on it. The first one is very rational, and the second one probably is more a bit on the behavioral side. So if we go to the rational side, I would say there are two things which, for me, counts the most. The first thing is electrical power needs to be super reliable. We rely every day on this. And I would say especially Europe has done a great job over the past decades that it's quite reliable. So none of us reading in the news every day that there was a power outage, people without power. There are sometimes severe weather conditions, and yes, then we read it about, but other than that, we don't. You go to South Africa, it's quite a different story. So I think reliability is the number one thing for the grid operators, which they deal with every day. And that leads to conservatism. The second thing I would say, over the last 30 years, there was not so much change needed. So there was no pressure to change. And if you don't need to change, why would you change? So I think two good reasons to be conservative. If we go to the behavioral side, I think there we probably have an issue to fix. And this is very much how we incentivize change. So the way, especially in regulated markets, DSOs are operated, there's very little incentive to adapt fast or even be proactive for the next steps. And that slows down. And probably the industry has not been the most sexy industry for young talents in the past because it was so conservative. But when we go now into the future, I think things are changing. I had the chance to talk to one senior person of a DSO just lately, and the person told me, I was working for Microsoft. And that was quite cool, a lot of dynamics, but now working in the energy industry is even cooler because the challenge in front of us is huge. And the change in front of us is huge. So I think we're going to attract more talents.
Well said. There is certainly pressure to change. There is incentive to change. I love how you say it's becoming a lot more sexy and cool. So very encouraging. But obviously, like you say, the time for change is now. So what does this change look like? You know, what needs to change specifically?
Yeah, I think probably always I like to start with the why something needs to change. And the why in this case is even not so important to ask, because I give you some data. We just recently did a survey with around 1,000 decision makers in Europe, which are involved in investments and purchasing of electrical equipment for the electrical power distribution. And what they said was 98% means almost everybody said, we need to digitalize.
Wow.
They are convinced, we need to. And that's kind of astonishing. So I think that there is not so much question why we need to do, but let me still get into a few topics. I mean, the first one I would say is it's a complete change how the grid looks like. So when we are looking in the past, we had a generation, large generation, we had the transmission systems, and then it goes into distribution and to the users. And what is the challenge of operating a grid is whatever demand is there, the supply needs to be there. So generation needs to match the demand. And generation is controlled on a transmission level. That's the old way of doing. Now, with all the renewables coming into play, we are adding a lot of power in many places. It's completely distributed. So the power flow is not anymore unidirectional, it goes in both directions. That's one of the challenges, how to regulate, how to control, how to ensure that really the power flows and the balance is always well in place. And we are using it in an optimal way. It needs digitalization. There's no way to do that in the traditional way. The second thing, if you think about what happens on the consumer and on the producer side, if you take solar, if you take wind farms, if you take data centers, if you take heat pumps, if you take EV charging, everything is non-linear loads, what we call it. So there is power electronics connected to the electrical grid. In the past, we used to have a lot of spinning loads. Large motors, large generators, and when you have spinning loads, if there is a failure somewhere, you get a lot of what we call short circuit current, and all the protection works nicely, and you isolate the failure. Everything is perfectly fine. In the future, good luck. It will change. If you are not more intelligent in doing that, it will not protect the right place. And the selectivity is not there, and we're gonna have severe outages. So things are changing. And just two practical examples why we need to change.
So you speak about us becoming more intelligent. Well, we hope so. But obviously, there are now other considerations that we need to take into account, such as cybersecurity, for example. So how do we factor that in to our planning? Because, I mean, these are critical risks.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, if I go back to our survey, 80% of the people said we are very concerned about cybersecurity. I probably is the number one on the senior management level, which keeps people awake when they think about digitalization of the power grid, or probably digitalization of everything. Cybersecurity is a big topic. I would actually say there are probably three things we need to tackle. The cybersecurity is one. The second one, I would say, is life cycle management. If you think about where we are coming from, where equipment lasts for 40 years without any big change, and you just do some regular maintenance and maybe some upgrades. Now, if you go into a digital world, life cycles are completely different. So the whole industry needs to get adapted to a complete shorter life cycle. And to have the shorter life cycle is also linked again to cybersecurity, because whatever is cybersecure today is not going to be cybersecure tomorrow. So the life cycle management of whatever is out there as an infrastructure and whatever is out there as a solutions needs to change. I think that's the second one. The third one is scale. It's very interesting. Also, before we were listening a little bit to a panel, they were talking about trust, and I think there was also a bit about, you know, how to innovate things and how to change things. When you think about this, and you walk even through here Endlit, where we are today, you see a lot of companies presenting digital solutions. It's a wild portfolio of different ways. Little scale. And if you think about some industries or some places which have been way more advanced in digitalization, if you think about, for example, Google, they talk about 1 billion users a day. These are the apps which are really relevant. So scale. When we digitalize things, the solutions we are applying, they need to scale. Otherwise, the life cycle will be a disaster. It will not work. Now, I think we are right now in the exploring phase. This is perfect. You need to explore. We need to learn. We need to find what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. And then we need to merge together and to scale. If we don't reach scale, I think we are in trouble.
What do we need to create that scale? How do we speed up this process? Because this is not easy. This is complicated.
Yes, and this is a super question. Now, I like to go a little bit to the psychology of that.
Please do. That sounds fascinating.
I learned, for example, at the IMD Business School in Lausanne, they were teaching about some of the adapter challenges what we have. And this is very interesting data. When you are an innovator and you try to promote an innovation, what data tells is you overestimate the benefits by factor three. So if you go through Endlit and you're going to talk to the different people promoting a solution, they're going to be excited about their solution. The one receiving the solution will not value the benefit as high as the innovator. So the benefits emotionally are lower than what you think. I think this one thing, but typically you can come over that. You know, you have the dialogue, you walk through, and you understand what it really matters and what is the impact. But here comes the bigger problem, and that's the risk. Again, you walk through this the fair, and you would talk to the people about what are the concerns. the innovator underestimates the concerns by factor 10. So factor 10, we underestimate the concerns to deploy something innovative. And that's the barrier we need to come over. So what are the risks? What are the concerns? Maybe simple examples. The DSOs, they would be concerned about deploying new solutions because the workforce is not ready for that. There is a reason why they have been for many years standardizing, for example, on what protection schemes they are applying. That's not because this is the best technical solution, but the workforce is trained and understands exactly how to interact. Now, if we want to tackle that, we need to make it easy that the workforce understands how to work with new solutions. As an example, if we go to cybersecurity, I think we cannot just say, okay, here is the solution, please take it. I think we need to work together in order to find how do we mitigate the concerns.
I love that you say we need to work together, because that's a great segue into my next question, which is all about the importance of partnerships, which is something that's obviously important to you as well. Why are partnerships so crucial to achieving our goals in this space?
Yeah, I think that this is probably kind of the conclusion of that session. I think to manage this or to master the challenge, I think we can only do together. I think this traditional vendor, supplier, buyer type of models, they fall short. And why they fall short is if somebody writes a specification that this is what I need, typically we have not understood what's the problem to solve. And only if we work close together, we understand what are the real problems, what are the relevant problems we have to solve. And if we create this kind of common understanding, then I think we have the doors open to find solutions. That's why I believe, you know, an open dialogue, bringing really the problems and challenges on the table, have a common view of what we need to do, what we need to achieve, and the expression of how good looks like to achieve this or to go over that, I think that's the key to succeed.
Absolutely, very well said. Adrian, I want to touch on the survey just briefly before we conclude. Obviously, you've mentioned some very interesting statistics. Was there anything specific that stood out to you in the survey that you would like to highlight? Because I know that this will be available surely online for everybody to see, am I correct?
Yeah, true, absolutely. And maybe if I highlight two things. The first thing is these decision makers, I would say about 70% said, we have a need to invest into the energy transition. We have to. It's not an option. So there is clearly an awareness that this needs to happen, which is good, which is also in line what we see from the COP discussion, which was 1 year ago, where basically the agreement was we need to triple the capacity of renewable power and we need to double the effort on the energy efficiency. So that goes very much hand in hand together. The other part, which I think is a little bit frightening, is when we ask specifically about some of the transition of technologies, 80% said we are only doing a transition of technology if we are forced to by the regulators. And that's dangerous. I think that's dangerous. That puts us at risk. So I would say these are probably my biggest two takeaways. So the awareness for the energy transition is there. On the other hand, I think people are waiting to get told to. And I think this is a mindset we need to change.
I have one final question for you, Adrian, and this is, you're not prepared for this at all, but when we were preparing for this, I really picked up on your energy and enthusiasm and your passion for what you do. And I mean, when I think about grid digitalization, perhaps, you know, that's obviously not my passion. What keeps you so engaged? What gives you the energy that you bring to the table daily?
I think, you know, it's super cool to be in this business right now. If you like to really have an impact on something, this is one of the best places. I think as a society, our biggest challenge is to reach carbon neutrality. If we don't reach that, we are actually in trouble. The generations after us are in trouble. And now in this business is so much dynamics. This is fantastic. I cannot imagine to be in a better business. So we are doing the right thing for the planet. And we can impact, we can create an impact. I could not dream about something better.
What more do you need?
Yes.
Adrian, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us
and
for sharing your insights. And I'd like to thank you for joining us as well. It's been an absolute pleasure. And of course, if you enjoyed the talk and you'd like to hear more talks like this, please feel free to subscribe to the Energy Transitions podcast. You can find that at enlit.world. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Log, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.